the podium. And they give me up a big laugh.
I am very happy to be amongst a humble group of people. I was very happy with how the word was received yesterday. And if you open, please, into Isaiah in chapter number 2. I see the keyboardist has already learned that he can reach. Yeah, you can have your Bible and pay off the keys. But unto the provost, I want to thank you again for your warm greeting and the way that you have received the word of God is encouraging. I go preaching in many different places, and I never know how I will be received. I often expect the worst, but it was an outstanding welcome. And the most important is not the welcoming of me. That's rather easy. I'm from California, but it's the welcoming of the gospel. That's what we want to have. And to see all of the many pastors here is also encouraging. So Isaiah in chapter number 2, and then I want to read and to preach from verse number 1 through 5. And he says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. He'll point them out. And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, out of the church, shall go forth the law and word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the holy city. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall, as a result, beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks for fishing. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. In our future time, it's a time. Verse 5, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let's pray another place. Our Father, as we are gathered here to worship, may all praise and honor and glory given unto Jesus Christ. Open my heart and my mouth. Open the ears of these people unto the glory of Christ. And riches, the unsearchable riches, the unfathomable riches that we have in him. That in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Every treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Help us to communicate. Help us to see him. Show us the knowledge of your glory for his name's sake. And may no flesh be praised in your presence. For his name's sake, we pray with thanksgiving, Father. Amen. And expectation. And so Isaiah in chapter number 2, as we continue our study of the book of Isaiah, He says in verse number 1, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. He saw a real vision of God. It's concerning Judah and Jerusalem, but this is really a prophecy that concerns his church. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, and we are in those latter days. Our brother John said, now is the last time. I was reading brother E.B. Pusey. I'm an old timer from the days of Spurgeon. And he said that the human calendar only has two dates. Before Christ came, it was the day of his coming. And now that he has come, it's the day of his return. But me and you, we are in the latter days of the gospel right now. This is not talking about a future time in a millennium or 1,000 years. That future time is now. That language of the millennium of the revelation is spiritual. We're in the time now of the gospel advancing and conquering throughout all of this world. What the brother said about a young minister with all of the pressure from society, from culture, from the other churches, to preach something other than the gospel, to fall into the trap of the lying miracles, the fake signs and wonders, to prophesy people's dreams about the ambitions of their life and not to preach the gospel. What we really need to realize is that we're on a winning team and the kingdom of God is conquering. It might not look like anything but a small thing. Even this gathering is only a few people. But it is prevailing. The kingdom of God is stomping out its enemies. And it is calling all of God's elect. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, it shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. The top of the mountains. That's where Christ is reigning right now. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords by his conquest at the cross. This is not permission that a man gives unto God to reign. An old preacher I used to listen to named Rolf Bonner. He passed away in the late 1960s, and I was able to get a hold of about 100 of his sermons. If you go online now, it's almost over 400. And some of them are the best you've ever heard in your life. But he used to get so angry at people that made Jesus Christ Lord. And he used to always say that God beat you to it. He already made Jesus Christ to be your Lord and mine. I talked about that a little bit last night, that he's been given authority over all flesh, that he might give eternal life unto whom he pleases. He's been given that authority not because man has said that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's a confession that we make of something that's already true. He's already been crowned the Lord of all by God the Father. Because God the Father, as I talked a little bit about last night, is he gave our Lord Jesus Christ a mission. From all of eternity, this lamb was slain. It was God's original purpose, his plan A, that man would fall into transgressions and it would be his own fault. The Almighty God's, his hands are clean. He hath made man upright. But it was we who fell into witty inventions. And then by his blood upon the cross, the elect of God, whom the Father had chosen unto salvation, would be redeemed by the Lamb's blood, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according unto his mercy through the precious blood of Christ. And what I'm saying is that all of the responsibility, the total responsibility of the salvation of the sheep, of God's elect, it was placed upon Jesus Christ. It may be people here that were like me before I was saved. I thought that Christ had done his part and I had to do my part. Until I realized that actually my part is impossible. Because all I have to offer God, even on my best day, if it is to merit a right, a relationship with God, is sinful. And my best effort, my best thought, and my best deed. And so God, he never relied upon us. It's me and you were already taken captive by the devil. And upon our sin in the garden, he cursed us. And actually, part of the curse is to be born under the spiritual dominion of the devil. You're of your father, the devil. And I was dead. He and you were born dead in our trespasses and our sins. And so we could not even come unto Christ. And we couldn't offer. If I've got sin in my preaching, and I do, this is not perfect. How can I offer it unto God to cleanse my sin? That's like going unto a judge and say, "Judge, I have raped your daughter. And to make up for it, I'm a slit her throat." That makes no sense. It is the blood he shed. Christ is responsible. Christ is the surety of the sheep. He's the one responsible. He is the Judah that was responsible for Benjamin. And he went and served God, yes, with his perfect life. And he served God the best at the cross. When God was punishing him for our sins. And he, our Lord Jesus, was trusting in God his Father. He died a perfect death. And Paul said, "I want to be even conformed unto his death. I want to die like that. Trusting God. No matter what happens in this body. Even if I must suffer." But Jesus did it perfectly. His blood, it was accepted. And that's why God the Father raised him from the dead. That's why death, it could not hold him. He died because our sins were on him. But then when these sins are paid for in full, the gates of justice must open unto him. And the resurrection must happen. And when he was resurrected, he was sat down at the right hand of God after 50 days or after the 40 days or the time frame. After he has ended up on high, he sat down, he sent the Spirit of Pentecost. But when God the Father sat him down at his own right hand in glory, he declared, "This man is Lord." By his resurrection, he is declared unto be the Son of God with power, who he's always been. And he's Lord over all, whether the devils like it or not. And even the demons knew when he came that thou art the Holy One of God. If you come to torment us before our time, his lordship, it's amazing that men don't know his lordship, but all the devils do. Money, he came in bed. He fell down. And so Jesus told the demons, sent him to lead to the pit. And when they talked, he told them, shut up and be quiet. And they did. He managed to listen to how he ruled their man's thoughts, ambitions, dreams, their futures, their destinies. It's in his mighty hands. He does as he pleases at all times. And so our king is really the God in charge.
I mean, you are not so bad.
Of a mighty army of a conquering God. See, just like at the day of Pentecost, that's what happened. 3,000 men were swept into the kingdom, right? That was mighty. More sinners have been swept into the kingdom of God this day, all over this world, than on that day. He's got churches, he's got preachers, he's got online sermons. He's got moms and old widows and even children testifying of Christ Jesus unto their parents. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's conquering. He's spreading the gospel and he's on top. He's ruling things. So me and you, we go with the mighty king. And our mission, it cannot be stopped. I don't have to tremble at men. I just posted on my page on Facebook. Don't ever ask a man for permission to serve God. Never, ever, 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 ever. You serve the King of Glory. There's only one being who needs to give you permission to serve God, and that's God himself by his holy word. And if you've got the backing of God's word, you're in the majority, even if everybody else is against you. Is Elisha prayed about his servant? Oh, Lord, open his eyes. See, but you let him see what's happening around here. And the servant's eyes were opened, and the mountains were filled with angels. And he's just arguing over this little small band of the Syrians? No, 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 no. Our Lord is the Lord of glory. Our God is king. Over Trump, over Buhari, over presidents, over nations. He does as he pleases. He saves whom he pleases. Man's willpower. Oh God, and all that he can do, now it's up to you. That's a message from hell. God does as he pleases with you and me both. Thank God he's had mercy on us. His people shall be willing. Whose power? His power. I will actually volunteer. I'll come and beg him, Lord, have mercy upon my soul when the power of the Holy Spirit meets with the gospel and is driven into my heart. No stopping God. That's all. So we really need to think of ourselves as more than conquerors through him that loves us. Even death has lost its sting. That great dragon, his jaws have already been snapped in two. And it may be a painful experience, but on the other side is glory, and in the midst of it is a promise of a keeping God. If our sisters, it's the old Huguenots, were tied unto a tree, if pregnant, slid open, and they would take out the child, and would leave them to die as the wild beast came at night and devoured their half-alive bodies. If the women, if they could endure that in France, me and you can die under the glory of the blessed God. It has lost its stay. I can come into Nigeria and die if I have to, if God's on my side, if this is my call. Oh, but Nigeria, it's going to eat you up. It might. But if it's my calling, I got a message from the king. Those people ain't going to hear you at your church. They might not, but if God's on your side and he saves them, they surely will. And if not, at least you've been faithful and you delivered your own soul. He won't hold you accountable for people who won't hear the truth of the gospel. He'll hold you accountable if you don't preach it. And the blood's in your hands, if you don't preach it, and the blood's off your hands, if you do. I see many young ministers are scared. And as you said, Pastor, if another person comes with some boldness and encourages to be bold, they stick their toe in the water, and next thing they know is, I'm scared of nothing. That's the way I found it. I used to be scared to preach the whole counsel of God. But the more I do it, scared of what? And scared of who? The Almighty God is on my side. And yours too in the gospel. So we fear no man, because God's in charge, right? It's true. It's true.
It shall come to pass in the latter days, these times are now, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, above all other doctrine. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and all nations shall flow to it. That's irresistible grace. As the Master calls out from among the people whom he will. That's our confidence as we go minister the gospel. The elect must be saved. And even if they kill us, as you missionaries, as you go, they'll still be saved. Unstoppable mission. I'm on the winning side. And so are you in Christ Jesus. So be bold. Verse number 3 says that many people shall come and say, not just a few, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, the Almighty God has a people. And they shall say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. That's election, the God of Jacob and not of Esau. It's the Arabs and the Muslims. Is they have it wrong now. He's the God of Jacob, not Esau. He's the God of Isaac, not Ishmael. He will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the church of the living God, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This happened, right? And this was actually fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Is the Lord told them to tarry where? In Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come and he would teach them all things. And then they would stand up with boldness and teach everybody else. And Peter's sermon at Pentecost is an exposition of Joel 2. In the latter days, this is what the prophet Joel said was going to happen, and it's happened exactly like this, because God has highly exalted his son, Jesus Christ. And when these nations come and they flow unto the kingdom, Pastor, is to be taught, is to be instructed. It's not to bargain. It's not to change terms. It's the sheep will hear his voice and they will follow him. Oh, I'm so scared if I preach that, it's going to run away with my church members. Only if they don't know God. Only. There is nothing in the Bible that me and you can teach his people that will drive him away. Now, I want to be loving as I teach. And I want to be gentle as I teach. But truth does not hurt the people. It is a blessed rebuke. It's the other brother's ill. He has a malaria. I heard his eyes were swollen off of a... It was an allergy. And he got some extra medication, and so everything we hope is going to be all right. But it's appointed on a man only unto die one time. But he's so meek and gentle. I can correct him. I can see an error. I can offer him encouragement and advice. And you know what? As proud as I am by nature, I'm the same way. If you bring me something from the Word of God, I'm going to bow to it. Because I'm teaching. Because I know that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns. And the first thing that he teaches us is what? It's our sinfulness. He will convict the world of sin. He teaches us that he reigns and that he is righteous and that he is forgiven. He teaches us the gospel of his grace. And me, he keeps on reigning because his and Paul did. I'm just in Philippians 3, the apostle Paul, he said this. Verse number 8, yes indeed, I also count all things loss. Why? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. He's saying, I can't have Christ except on his terms. And so to get to know him, in whom are all the riches of the Godhead, all the fullness of wisdom, and really understand everything that God gives us is greatness, is the blood of his wrath. Our riches, our wealth, is so unfathomable, it's going to take all of eternity. Just to learn a little of the pleasure of the holiness of the forgiveness of us. And these nations, let's go back into our text in Isaiah 2, shall come, verse number 3, and say, let us go up unto the mountain, let's ascend as to where he is by humbling ourselves. It's the way up is down. It's the way to get up on this mountain is to come to him as a sinner with a broken and a contrite heart, trembling at his word, that he may teach me the gospel. Teach me how to live. Teach me how to serve God. Teach me what it means to trust Christ. And to the house of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. He'll open the way of knowledge. And this flesh, this carnal mind that cannot understand, it'll be supreme. impressed by a brand new nature, a brand new heart, a brand new understanding, plus the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not a puppet, but he does subdue my body. He does get the knowledge on the inside until you hear it and believe it with conviction, and so you stand up and you die for it. That is the difference in between Ezekiel and the other prophets who know the truth but who won't preach it. If it's only in here, I won't preach it. But when you're taught by God, and Scripture says, everyone shall be taught by God. All that the Father gives me shall come. They shall be taught by God. Supernatural learning. How'd you learn that, Grandma? You can't even hardly read. Oh, Grandma was taught by God. You don't need a PhD in theology to preach the gospel. You need to be on your knees with Jesus Christ and an open Bible and be taught by God with conviction. That's how God teaches. A new heart for the ignorant and the Holy Spirit, and so that God puts you on His lap and He starts to teach you. And it's because He's good and upright. He teaches sinners. If I'm stupid, I'm in the perfect place unto learn from God. Oh, my Father, He said, I thank You that You have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto little babies who don't know nothing and admit it. Lord God, show me what's in the Bible. I'll believe and I will obey. That's when the Word opens. If there is a conviction in humility, I'll believe whatever You say and I'll do it by the power of Your Spirit. He'll open your eyes unto the gospel. It's true. Spiritual knowledge is for itty-bitty people who fear God, poor in spirit, helpless, trembling at His word. If I don't have anything to give God except His own Son's blood, if I don't have any power of obedience except His Holy Spirit, and I'm scared to death of sinning, God will teach you His word. Woo-hoo! With power. And make you obey it. And that's when you know it more. You know it by experience. It is in your life. Can't nobody tell you nothing but the Bible. That's a man, that's a woman of courage. Just my Bible up underneath my arms. That's how you know. And you don't have to be smart. You Africans are smart. If you were born as to where I live, you have the same education as me. And you speak the same way. But you don't have to be smart in order and to know God. But the Zambians are smart if their education is strong. They're smart people. But even the education of an old woman in a village, let her be taught by God. And she'll see. Might not be able to explain everything, but if she hears truth, her heart will say, I see it. I believe it. That's a fact of God. And He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. Those two things always go together, and me and you only know what we practice, right? That's what I believe, as to what I live by. For out of Zion, His church, shall go forth the law, but it's not the Old Testament law of Moses that went from Sinai. This is entirely the new covenant of grace that's in the gospel. Gospel living, not under the law, not under condemnation, not under guilt and fear and shame. Everything I see has Christ in it, or it's not a message from God that brings life. It's the law says you do or you die, right? It's the gospel says it's finished and now you live. If the law says love, but it gives you no help and condemns you. If the gospel says there's no condemnation in Christ, and then it gives you the help of the Holy Spirit so that you can love. It's the word of God is in so much harmony. But that is the law out of Zion. It's the gospel. Every sermon is about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. That is the new covenant. And I'm so happy to hear people preach, or they hear me preach and say, that's the gospel. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the message of the book. It's still the gospel. He never changed into health and wealth. He never got into business with nobody. He never started making false promises. He never did it. It's always been the gospel. The healing of the soul, a right, a relationship with God, and the ability to love my neighbor. That's the gospel. To lay our life down for Jesus Christ. Not for stuff. Not for money. If the Lord God blesses you with money, if it's a blessing, He'll also make you give. If He makes you the owner of a big business, He'll also make you meek and gentle, even with your employees. That's the working of God. But while we're so busy pursuing the things of this world, as the Bible says, love not the world, nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. When God saves and He teaches us, He makes us about the gospel. It's not just as to what I want to hear. It's what I'm preaching. It's what I want to obey. It's what I want to live like. It's what I'm sharing. It's what my life's about. It's not just a Sunday sermon, is it? It's our life, and it's what me and you want everybody else to have as we're on our way to make money, or we're in a hospital bed, or we're raising children, or we're preaching in the street. It doesn't matter. Our whole life is about the gospel. It's still the gospel. And the old missionaries who came here first were a good example. They left the things that men esteemed for the things that were truly important. The gospel in our souls. We're still in that business. The apostles did not try to set up a church franchise. I'm the Peterites. It's the Paulites. It's the Redeemed Church of John. It's the Mountain of Matthew. And have their franchises all paying them back tithes and offerings and them getting fat. And I'll fire you if you don't make enough money now. That wasn't what they did. They spread the gospel. They gave their life. And even Paul said, I work with my own hands in order to give unto the people around me that are on my team. I'm giving them stuff. And then I'm preaching the gospel. Because everything in my life, he's saying, is the gospel. I want to honor it and spread it and want you to believe it. That's what I'm all about, Paul says. All of us who are in Christ have no other ambition but the gospel. That's being taught by God. That's the law that comes out of Zion, out of Jerusalem. And he started in Jerusalem with his very murderers. They got to hear the gospel first. And even many of the priests, it says in Acts 6, actually turned and became obedient unto the faith. And he made sure to grab a Pharisee. The Apostle Paul, I'm going to get the best Pharisee or the worst Pharisee. I'm going to get me the chief of sinners and make him about the gospel. And he did. And he's still doing it. It's a bunch of the chief of sinners in here right now. And we're all about that gospel. That word of the Lord that came from Jerusalem with repentance and the forgiveness of sins. If you don't mind, I'll just read you that briefly. Luke 24. Verse number 46 up to verse number 49. This is after he was resurrected. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Even our sufferings are appointed and necessary unto the glory of God, is his way in a sin-cursed earth. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He's fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father, that's the Holy Ghost, upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Just a note, and I'm going to move on. If the gospel could be preached at Jerusalem first, the place of the biggest sinners, they had just murdered the Son of God. And you would think if there's any place where he would turn his back, he starts there first. Let me just say a word in passing. But to any sinner in this room, don't be ashamed to go to God. He starts with sinners. He gets glory with sinners. His bloodline is filled with sinners. Of all the women in the history of the world since Eve that are actually in his bloodline, in the book of Matthew 1, as he mentioned Tamar, there's the woman that pretended to be a harlot and she slept with her father-in-law. Ruth, that is a Moabitess of the cursed race. Or Rahab. She's called in the scripture a harlot over and over. So many times I can hardly count. That is what she's known by unto his glory. And who's the fourth one? You need to stop answering questions. Bathsheba. That woman who willingly went into an act of adultery. He's saying, this is my bloodline. This is actually where I come from. Because all mankind are sinners. And I've come to save sinners. I've come to seek and save that which is lost. So a sinner will find a warm welcome at the feet of Christ Jesus. He'll let you wash his feet with your hair. And you can take that expensive perfume and you can pour it on him. The sacrifices of God are broken and contrite heart. Take your broken heart and just break it on him. And let the oil of praise start flowing. I'll let your faith be in Christ Jesus. He will receive it. And he'll do it better than any man can. There is no man that's going to take a woman as dirty as the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll take a sinner that is filthy in their sin. The town hypocrite. He'll take it. As the brother Matthew was so dirty, His church actually kicked him out after he heard the gospel. But before he heard the gospel in his heart, as he went through the seminary gospel. But that's easy to do. But sin had dominion over him. And it was so bad, and it was known, it was notorious. Even as a man's own wife was ashamed of the evil look people in the eye. That's how bad. And the church turned their back on him, and they mocked him and laughed at him. They shunned him. But when he opened up in Ezekiel chapter number 36, and he saw the promise of God of a new heart, and I'll make your latter end even better than your beginning, he grabbed hold of the promise. He stretched forth his hand towards Jesus. He took him by faith. He came to him and said, Lord, you help me or I die. I receive you. And you know what happened? Is the master received and made him a minister of the gospel. And when I heard him preaching, I said, that's the spirit of Christ. You coming with me? Coming with me. That's a rare blessing. He takes a man as a sinner. He found me in the pit of destruction. I was a nobody, a spiritual failure. And that's why I preached with power. He forgave me. And he gave me power at the bottom. The very bottom. So there's hope for anybody. Any sinner in the building. There's so much hope for you. Anybody listening online. Hope in Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse number 4. He. Our Jesus Christ shall rebuke you. Between the book of Ezekiel in chapter number 34, what sheep does our Lord Jesus Christ take? Is it the fat or is it the lean? Is it the strong or the weak? He says, the self-sufficient, I don't want you. But the weak and needy, I will take you unto myself, and I'll be a shepherd. I will be a shepherd unto you. And he rebukes between the nations, saying, that nation is the kingdom of darkness. And I don't care as to what it has. All the wealth of America is not a Christian country. There are Christians in the country who forsake America for the kingdom of God. And that's what he'll have you do right here in Nigeria. He will judge between the nations. That nation is damned and on his way into hell. There's only one kingdom that's last. In the book of Daniel in chapter number 2 is an illustration of the image that of Nebuchadnezzar he saw in his dream. If the head was of gold, that's him. If the arms and the chest were of silver, that's the Medes and the Persians. If the legs were of, it was of bronze and iron. That's the Greco-Romans, and they're still reigning. But the feet were partly brittle. It was partly clay. And then a stone came tumbling out of the mountain, not cut out by hands. Man has absolutely nothing to do with it. The only thing that man did was to nail him unto the cross. Salvation, if you want. But this stone comes tumbling down that mountain and it hits this iron, this clay. It breaks it open, it crumbles down, and this stone, it becomes a mountain. That's what Isaiah is preaching. That's what Isaiah is preaching.
This stone which the builders have rejected is the chief cornerstone. And this nation, the kingdom of God, shall stand. It's the only nation.
nation that's worth serving. It's the only kingdom that's worth being a member of. It's the only thing that's important in the history of the world is the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. And he's going to make you what I see. This world is nothing. It's glamour, it's fame, it's applause, it's money, it's respect, it's favor. And you're going to see everything as the one kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He shall judge between the nations and teach me and you right from wrong. And he shall rebuke many people. You see, Almighty God is not in the bargaining business. He's in the convicting business. And he convinces us of sin, of the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and of his power over the devil. And here is the blessed result. After I've been rebuked for my unbelief, and put my faith in Jesus Christ, they that meet you here, of the kingdom of this world, no more, shall beat their swords. I'm no longer a violent and an angry man. The flesh is under control by the power of the Holy Ghost. He's being mortified on the daily because he was crucified with Christ Jesus. They shall beat their swords in the plowshares. I'm about the gospel now. Those spears I used to use to have to jab at others, even though Paul said I was a blasphemer and I was injurious. But now that I've obtained mercy, I'm calling all men unto Jesus Christ himself. It's the Lord told Peter and them, but don't be afraid. Hereafter, you will catch men. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation. It's no more black, white. It's no more Jew, Gentile. It's no more Igbo and Yoruba and Hausa. As we have our distinctions, I'm American, you're Nigerian, but in this kingdom, there are no distinctions. Shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I'm on verse 4. I'm going to get to verse number 5.
But the peaceableness of the nature of the kingdom of God. What a blessing. There's some old white people I know in the U.S. I don't have anything in common with them but the gospel. I don't like their music. I don't like how they dress. Their politics, I cannot stand. There is absolutely nothing that would make me want to be around those people, but God has made them a blessing unto my soul. They are my brethren in Jesus Christ, and they're my best friends in the world. Isn't that the same thing here? What tribes are here? Is the Igbo over here? Everybody say that. Is the Igbo so greedy for money? But the sister gives unto the support of the gospel. Starting with her life. Sticks her neck. In maneuver. On the way up there, it is an easy trip. Willing to die for the gospel. Is Hausa here? Yeah. It's the brother. It's from Europe. But in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, we all pray. All brethren. All love each other. And my hatred towards you and towards myself, because I hate you by nature, is tamed and subdued by the Spirit of Christ. And There is such love among people who know the truth when they hear the truth and they share it. And let me just explain it. That when Christ is exalted, all the people of God, we love each other. It's a church back home. It's one of the best churches I've ever seen. It's a young church. It's a young pastor. And he wrote me yesterday because he had heard of some of the things here with the kidnapping of the school girls and other things happening. So he wanted to make sure I'm all right and asked how he could help. And you know what I think about his church? It's a small church. It's probably about maybe twice as many people there. But every time anybody stands up, it's the musician, it's the person that's going to lead in the meditation before the offering, it's the pastors, whoever stands up, there is no glory that is ever given to anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm so happy there. I'm so comfortable. I leave so delighted. Because that's what the true Christian wants. All glory to Christ. I'm at peace with everybody else. That's the kingdom of God. He takes enemies and he makes them friends. He takes people and he makes us able to forgive each other. And be patient. And be kind. And be long-suffering. To put aside the chip on the shoulder and to humble myself. And let me teach my sister as to how to act better. That's the kingdom of the gospel. Ain't it sweet? Sweet to be kind unto each other. Love and to forgive. And to be generous and to respect each other. And it isn't haughty, isn't pride, it isn't mean. Isn't him, it's Christ, Christ, Christ. That's what we want in the people of God. That's what we want in a seminary. Christ, Christ, Christ. And the Holy Spirit will give us pleasure. If nobody's exalted but the Son of God. And that's how I want to leave a this team or anybody I'm leading, Christ is all, and so is the Bible. And it's the job of the leader to most exemplify Christ. Not to beat down the people, but to lift them up that they may see Christ Jesus.
And here is it's my last thing is in verse number 5. O house of Jacob. That's the elect from before time began. How do you know? You believe the gospel. And you're of the house of Jacob. Come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let me just end it here with a closing exhortation.
This life, this knowledge of the glory of the blessed God. I'm sure you've heard it. I'm sure you know it. Let us walk in it. Let's not walk backwards. Let's not turn away. Let's not close our ears and begin to gnash our teeth. I believe in some measure. You should know it's true. Let's abide in it. Let's stay in Christ Jesus. Let's keep going no matter the cost. If this is the only seminary in Nigeria that's speaking the truth, I'm not saying it is, but if it is, let it be the only one. If it ain't but five people around, learning about the worship of God, don't compromise, don't change anything. Just lift him up even higher. It's the Almighty God is blessed in those five. And that's what he came here for. And he will use them to make his name, his mighty mountain known. He will conquer. The kingdom of God will conquer with people, men and women, whom God counts faithful. Let's walk in the light. No drawing back. No cowardice. No fear. If you need strength, get more grace from the Almighty God. If they still shake as you preach it, preach it anyway. His old Gideon was scared. And so scripture says he had to obey by night. But he still obeyed and he pulled down that altar and he established Christ. And the next day his father, whom he was so scared of, said, you should leave him alone. If that idol was any good, it could speak for itself. I've seen the light myself. It's my son's courage, even though he was scared. And he said, I'm the least in my father's house. And he was scared up until he heard even from the enemy's mouth. It's that Gideon. And it's actually something that helped me. I began to see people who didn't even know the gospel. I'm beginning to know that is the gospel. And I took it some courage. It'll be other brethren to help. But it'll be, most importantly, the Holy Spirit of God. And a man or a woman with Jesus Christ is in the majority. Is a mighty army. Because you and I are partakers of a kingdom that's conquering. It is conquering Nigeria. It is conquering America. It's conquering everywhere in the world. It's calling out the elect and as many as God the Father appointed. They're all going to be saved. And we are the blessed instrumentality. And what a privilege to walk with Jesus in the salvation of God's elect.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, sir.
Amen.